This morning, we speak with Noon Sol Jang. She is with the Department of Gender, Media and Cultural Studies, School of Culture, History and Language at the Australian National University. Good morning, Noon Sol.
Good morning.
Today, we will be talking about your research, which focuses on contemporary issues facing migrant wives in Korea.
Mm-hmm.
Your research entitled From Survival to Empowerment, The Journey of Filipino Migrant Wives in South Korea. But before we go into details, first, tell us the background why you did this research.
Oh, okay. While I was doing my bachelor degree in Melbourne in Australia, I had a lot of difficulty to facing discrimination. That's one of the reasons, as soon as I finished my course, I left Australia. And I thought I'm not going to come back to this country anymore. But then, I don't know, life is funny. I met my husband in Thailand and we got married and we came back to Australia. And my husband and I, we went back to Korea. And it's strangely enough that my husband has a facing discrimination because of his appearance as a Indian looking. So a lot of Koreans, they ask me the question is that, be careful, your husband trying to get the permanent residency from you. And my son, I've got one son and second one is on the way.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. So they give me a lot of comment about my son's the skin color and, you know, appearance.
Yeah.
And I started to realize that Australia discrimination, I always thought is worse. But actually my country is monoracial society. It becomes, I think they should change. So start from there. I was researching about married migrant women from Southeast Asia. And then I was interested about Filipinos because they are very unique compared with other migrant wives.
Yeah.
That's why this is where I started my research from.
When did you start doing this research?
I've done 2014.
Yeah.
I met my supervisor and we discussed. And I've done my pre-field work in South Korea. But because of, you know, I was raising my child, I had to start my course from 2015.
Yeah.
So I went back to Korea 2014, 15, and 16 for my field work. And I met a lot of Filipinos who have married with Korean men and live in Korea for, I don't know, recently arrived until someone who lived there more than 16 years.
There are a lot of migrant wives in South Korea, not just Filipinos. They come from different nationalities.
That's
am I right?
Yeah.
But in your initial interviews with Filipino wives, what did you find out?
They are not a stereotype of the migrant wives from Southeast Asia. Apparently, lots of from Southeast Asia, we have a matchmaking system who come in from China, Vietnam, and Cambodia. Our wives, they come into Korea and lived with Korean men.
Yeah.
They have very Confucian family mindsetting. So they are more like looking after family, stay at home, and they are not seeking for a job. But unlike other origin of countries of migrant wives, Filipino wives are the mostly highly educated. So over 50% women, they got a university degree. Compared with Vietnamese, majority of Vietnamese wives, they got a less than middle school education. So our Filipino wives, they are much more educated and they're really seeking for work and they don't want to be fitted into the idea as a traditional Korean wife who has to looking after parents and, you know, son and child. So
yeah.
This is what is different.
Yeah, it means that they are not just working at home. They look for jobs. They work as professionals.
Yeah, and they most of the recent arrivals, they got a professional career in Philippines. They've got an old education in Philippines. And lots of Korean people, they think that people who come from Southeast Asia, they do a fake marriage and they will run away in order to migrate. So they think marriage coming because of the migration.
Yeah.
But interesting enough is that none of my research subjects from the Philippines, they haven't done it through the commercial marriage agency or they are not the person who run away types. They come to Korea not through the commercial agency. They come as a network. So I think in Philippine case, network is a very crucial point.
Yeah. You're saying this because there are a lot of migrant wives who came to Korea through agencies. These agencies are commercials. They pay for this.
Yep.
For them to be able to be matched with a Korean husband.
Yeah.
But in the case of the Filipinos, they met their husbands through network like church.
Yeah, religious church, well, Unification Church. Have you heard about Unification Church?
Not really, but what is it?
The establisher is coming from Korea. His name is Son Myung-moon. He's the one who created the mass marriage between two different countries. So lots of people from Japan, Thailand, and Philippines, they married through the Unification Church until 1999. So people who comes to Korea like over 10 years ago, all my research subjects, they married through the Unification Church. And recent arrival, they married through the network, like a Christian church or social network, or their friends, they introduce each other. So in Philippine case, Unification Church and social networks are crucial.
So it's like a church unification because two different cultures get married through this church.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. And with the Filipino wives you've spoken to, because I read in the summary of your research in the background says that there are some issues concerning some migrant wives being abused by their Korean husbands.
Yeah.
And how did the husbands responded with this alleges of abuses?
So my research was categorized as the early stage of migrant wives who arrived 10 years ago, while late stage of migrant wives who comes in more than 10 years. So who comes here when, like 1990, Korea is a very monoracial society and we don't have any idea about the multiculturalism. At the time, a migrant wife from the other country was quite rare. So husband, when they bring the woman into Korea, they have lots of expectation, and when they don't fit it into the expectation, they had a lot of issue between the migrant wives and Korean husband, because normally Korean husband in 1990, they were all people from farmers and fishermen, so they are not properly educated as well. So when sending a remittance to another country, they couldn't really understand. In Korean mindset, once you marry into my family, you are the part of my family. Therefore, you've got to not care too much about your family back home.
Yep. So it's like they are being Koreanized. Is that the term?
Yeah. But now they do understand, because Korea's government, they provide multiculturalism and they started building about multicultural family support center, which is where the center support by Korea government, and they provide the culture, education, and language, and also they try to teach the husband as well. But back then, they refused to pay for the send the remittance. They hit their wives because of the language difficulty and cultural differences. There are a lot of misunderstanding between the two couples. So when I heard their difficulty when they first arrived, it was really tough, because when they had a baby, husband refused to pay for the painkiller fee. And then, lots of horrible stories. But nowadays, I think they keep changing it.
So these cases no longer exist?
Still there. It's just the extreme cases still there. But I will say Filipino women are much fortunate compared with the Vietnamese and Chinese, because Filipinos are able to speak English, so they have less difficulties to communicate with the husband. The Korean husband may not able to speak Korean, but they do understand a few words. And then, like, because of young generation, like one wife that I met, she was not able to communicate with the husband at all. But fortunately, her sister-in-law went to U.S. for study for 7 years. So whenever they had issues, the sister-in-law, they intervened and they solved the issue for between them. So I think it's much easier than people from the Vietnam or Cambodia.
As you have mentioned, that it has changed much better now compared to 15 or 10 years ago.
Yeah.
You have presented your research at the Australian National University, and you did a talk about it last week, I think.
Yeah.
How did the audience view your research? What did they think about it?
I was sharing about particularly all my fieldwork experience. They think in each individual story is very much more complex, and a lot of previous literature review is more like talking about homogenized situation, or it's monoracial. They normally describe about the migrant wives in South Korea as a monoracial, is oversimplified. But my fieldwork case is, they think it's quite fresh and new, because They haven't heard about the Unification Church, and they didn't really think about the difference between a Filipino woman and other origin of country woman. So, yeah, it was pretty good. It went well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to ask this. I read in one of the summaries that some of the migrant wives before are called as runaway brides.
Yeah, runaway. Yeah.
Do they really run away from their husbands?
Yeah. Yeah. There's one woman, she's from the Davao City.
Yeah.
She married a Korean man through the Christian Church Network. And the husband already got two runaway wives.
Oh, wow.
One was a Korean and second one is Vietnamese. And then I went to her house occasionally. I was talking with her Korean husband. He seems really nice, but yeah, he told me that when he brought his Vietnamese ex-wife, the Vietnamese wife couldn't really adjust in Korea, rural society and everything. The language was difficult. And one day, when he opened the door to the room, he couldn't find his wife.
Mm.
And she just left all the passport and everything and just disappeared. For him, it was already second experience.
Yeah.
So he wasn't surprised at all.
Is he happy now with his Filipino wife?
It looks like it because okay. they've got a daughter.
Good for them.
Yeah, he never had a child from the ex-wife.
Yeah.
So it's the first time he's got a child. And then they both have a same, they are sharing a same Christian background.
Yeah.
And hopefully the marriage works well.
Yeah. Do you know how many migrant wives are there in Korea at the moment?
At the moment, it's 10,000 Filipino wives.
Oh, wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, but who haven't attained the citizenship. If you include someone who already got a citizenship, it can be much more than that. But it's important to note that Filipino wives, they are the second largest source of the country who attained the citizenship, apart from the Joseonjok. It's called ethnic Korean in China.
Yeah.
So for them, it's easy to pass the citizenship test because we are sharing the same language.
Yeah.
So Filipino is the second largest source of the country. So if you exclude the number, it's only 10,000. I don't know how many people are going to be if you include the attained citizenship.
But this 10,000, you are saying they haven't got the citizenship yet. But there are those who already got the citizenship, right?
Yeah, a lot. Yeah.
It's a big number.
Yeah, the Philippines is the third largest source of the country who become a migrant wife in South Korea. But only migrant wife we are counting. There's a migrant workers, legal migrant workers, illegal migrant workers, and there's called entertainment visa. So who comes to Korea as an entertainment visa, it's 90% of women is from Philippines.
And finally, based on your research, what did you find out about migrant wives, specifically among Filipino wives, their role in Korea's population now and even in the economy?
Oh, Filipino women, they are the only group who established the NGO. And if you heard about Jasmine Lee, a Filipino-born Korean woman, Jasmine Lee, she's the first non-ethnic Korean who become a member of the National Assembly in 2012.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So she's the only one in Korea.
She's good.
So, yeah. But she came to Korea when she was 19 years old, and she married with a Korean man, but then her husband passed away. In that case, lots of women, they normally go back to their where they come from. But she stayed there, raised her two children, and finally she became the member of the National Assembly, which is a really big meaning.
Yeah.
And everyone knows about the Jasmine Lee in Korean society. Filipino women, I think they are pioneers. Unlike other women from our origin countries, they try to raise their voice instead of become a passive subject.
Yeah.
Lots of women, they depend on their husband and in-laws. I would say they don't have enough spirit to fight or change the Korean society. But while I was there, I met the NGOs who run and supported by a Filipino woman and who comes here more than 10 years. They are helping recent arrival as well.
Mm.
And their role is much bigger than any other country origin women. And not only they're protecting their Filipino community, but also they try to change Korean society and also help other migrant wives too. So, their role is, I think, is more potential than any other women.
Mm. So they're having an impact in the Korean society in general?
Yeah, they do. Like, everyone knows about Jasmine Lee. And I met the two Filipino women. They are hired by Seoul city government. So they are the migrant wives who become a public servant too. And when I was talking with one of them, she told me that she had a very dramatic life. She was raped when she was 19 years old in the Philippines, and she moved to Hong Kong as a cook. Then she moved to Korea, and until she became a public servant. And yeah, her life was really dramatic. But now she told me, because her Korean is really fluent, she's been here for a long time, that's why. And she told me that if anyone, you know, when she passing on the street, someone give a brochure.
Yeah.
But then the lady doesn't give it to her because she looks different. She looks foreigner. But then she approached to her and she said, why don't you give it to me?
Yeah.
And they were always surprised by, oh, you can speak Korean. And he said, yes, I am Korean. I work for the Seoul city government. I'm a public servant. And you shouldn't treat the foreigner like this. And they actually apologized to her.
Yeah.
So she's the one who changed the society. And they are all trying.
Yeah, I know, because I have a few friends who studied in Korea. They went, they studied there under scholarship. And I think Filipinos can easily learn the language too.
Yeah, Korean is very difficult language. But Filipinos, you know, the Tagalog is based on Malayu, Spanish, and English. They're much more easily accept a new language, I hope. I think also they're smart and they've got a really great education background.
Yeah. Great to know about your research, Noon Sul Jang. Thank you very much for sharing your research and for sharing what you have found out.
Thank you. Thank you for calling.
Ito ang Radio SBS sa wikang Filipino.